Next, we go to the Cannes Film Festival in France to speak with French TV journalist Ulysse Gosset. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. You're a very busy man. Let me ask you about the big buzz that is coming from Cannes, and mainly because of the secrecy. It's the movie that has its world premiere, Indiana Jones. Are you hearing anything about this movie?
Everybody's talking about that because it's a world premiere, and we know that George Lucas, Harrison Ford, and Steven Spielberg are in town in one of the nicest hotels of the Croisette, you know, the boardwalk, and everybody is expecting, you know, a great movie. We will see if it's going to be really a great movie or just another episode. We will see tonight what's going to be the reaction of the public and of all the members of the jury.
Are there other movies creating a lot of buzz?
There is one movie that everybody is really waiting to see. It's the last movie from Clint Eastwood with Angelina Jolie. It's called Changeling. And, you know, a lot of people are thinking that it could be one of the, I mean, the winner, the Golden Palm this year for many reasons. But one of them is that Sean Penn, the president of the jury, you know, likes very much Clint Eastwood. And the other movie that is really important today is a movie with Catherine Deneuve, with A Christmas Tale, Un Conte de Noël, which has been made by a French movie maker called Arnaud Desplechin. So there is a real competition for the Golden Palm between these two movies, the Clint Eastwood one and Catherine Deneuve.
Angelina Jolie is making headlines for more than just her appearance in the movies at Cannes.
Yes, of course, because of her twins. And, you know, it was the real scoop this week when she came to present one of the movie, you know, The Magic Panda, but everybody was looking at her, and she was, you know, in fact, giving the first pictures of her new state, and everybody's talking about her and Brad Pitt. In fact, they are staying in an incredible chateau outside Cannes in Le Cap d'Antibes, and they only come, you know, when they have to on the red carpet. But when she's on the red carpet, I can tell you that everybody is there too, and there's a lot of excitement.
French television journalist Ulysse Gosset at the Cannes Film Festival. Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup.
Black Entertainment Television was created to bring authentic African-American voices to cable. Back in the 1980s, the black-owned channel was a symbol of achievement. Founder Robert Johnson promised the network would be the Motown of television, or a Disney for black viewers. But NPR's Netta Ulibi reports those viewers have to go elsewhere to find shows they want to watch.
Many African Americans don't watch the channel that's supposed to serve them. And some even protest BET, not for its lineup of old sitcoms and recycled reality shows, so much as its booty videos. According to a study released earlier this month by the Parents Television Council, BET videos airing after school and during the day on weekends show much more sex and violence than MTV's, yet BET rates them as appropriate for younger children.
BET does not reflect me.
So BET does not reflect me.
That frustration and disgust from activists picketing BET's January award show has erupted into popular culture.
Welcome to BET headquarters.
That's from the animated show of The Boondocks on the Cartoon Network.
Our leader, Bob Johnson, had a dream of creating a network that would accomplish what hundreds of years of slavery, Jim Crow, and malt liquor couldn't.
The destruction of black people!
I think, you know, BET's in a tough place.
Mark Anthony Neal teaches African-American popular culture at Duke University.
They are a network that for a long time could take for granted what their audience was and what their audience would be willing to watch.
That audience felt a sense of ownership for a channel they helped get on the air with a national grassroots campaign. And they got programming that for a while included news and public interest. For the first time, a black-owned channel reflected African Americans back to themselves, with homegrown stars like Ed Gordon and Cedric the Entertainer.
All right, you look good, man. Everybody look well, not everybody. It's a brother back there with a suit on from two different Easters, man.
But then a couple of things happened. A giant corporation, Viacom, bought BET in 2000. It made founder Robert Johnson the country's first black billionaire. Another black channel got started a few years later, called TV One. And for the first time, black people and white people's top-rated shows started to be the same, thanks to the rise of forensic dramas and reality television.
Let me hear you say, Flavor Flav!
Take Flavor of Love. Its critics would say, please. It's skeevy. And in that magical demographic of 18 to 34-year-olds, Flavor of Love is one of the most popular shows on cable for whites and blacks. And it's on VH1, not BET. TV critic Eric Deggans of the St. Petersburg Times says BET is following cable trends of wooing young viewers.
Now, the problem that they have is that there are a lot of people out there in the culture, a lot of black people especially, who are not part of that demographic. They're older, and they have more traditional views about what should be on television, and they have more traditional views about what BET should be offering in terms of the picture it presents of black people to the world.
BET's original audience isn't happy with shows like 106th and Park, which is like MTV's Total Request Live, but raunchier, and College Hill, set at historically black colleges, but otherwise a lot like the real world, but with much more violent fights.
I do not watch BET. It has nothing to offer me. I do not watch TV One.
Tia Tyree is a young professor in Howard University's communications department, and she's just turned on BET for the first time in ages. Tyree compares the videos and old sitcoms on the Black Affinity channels to Flip the Channel, news programs on Telemundo and Univision. Tyree says it's hard sometimes not to feel that network owners are depriving black audiences of smart programming.
And they don't want them to get the news that they can use and would change their lives and impact them in the same way that they could if they were a Latino person getting Latino news daily for themselves.
Tia Tyree says if you look at the top cable shows among black viewers, BET is barely on the list. Number one and two, a TBS show, Tyler Perry's House of Pain.
Today is the day.
Today.
Today is the day. Today.
Creating syndicated scripted shows might be the secret, says Duke professor Mark Anthony Neal.
What Tyler Perry has done is really brilliant in that regard. He did not go the traditional route of trying to make a pilot and find a studio to work with and find a network that would show it. He produced these episodes all himself and put them directly into syndication, and TBS said, it sounds like a good idea, let's run with it.
Ooh, today is the day.
I think if there were more African-American programmers who were thinking alongside that model as opposed to creating the next great black channel, you know, whether that's BET or Television One, that they'll have much more flexibility in terms of getting their messages out to the marketplace.
That's something BET has promised but not yet delivered. For his part, Neal says when he wants to see truly innovative African-American programming, he has to cherry-pick shows all over the menu. The Wire on HBO, Tavis Smiley on PBS, and the rapper Bone Crusher guest-judging on Iron Chef. That's on the Food Network. Neal says he has to use his TiVo to make his own BET. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.
Stay close to your television, or your TiVo, because tonight millions of viewers find out whether Anya or Fatima or Whitney walks away with the title of America's next top model. Big news. And the winner may decide to celebrate with a nap. Former contestants on reality TV shows say producers routinely deprive them of sleep in order to heighten the drama. Joel Rose reports.
Former Project Runway contestant Jay McCarroll says it took him a few days to catch on.
Well, they work you till like midnight or 1. Before you know it, it's 4 days later, and you're like, wait, I've slept a total of 11 hours in the past week.
McCarroll says he tried to take naps during filming, but the lack of sleep really came across on TV.
I was having such trauma at the machines, and I was cursing at them.
You know, you're a fat...
Jay,
what?
It's cool. Just chill.
In the end, McCarroll endured 3 weeks of sleep deprivation well enough to win the first season of Project Runway. But he says some of the other contestants couldn't handle it.
It makes people crazy. It puts people on edge and makes them irritable, screaming.
This is not so different from what actual sleep researchers observe in the lab. Mary Karskaden at Brown University says sleep-deprived people tend to be emotionally volatile.
So you have the little girls on their sleepovers giggling themselves silly. But you also have people who have short tempers or who easily cry. I guess all things that do make for high drama.
In other words, sleep deprivation makes for good TV. And apparently, Project Runway isn't the only reality show that's figured this out. Here's a clip from a recent episode of Top Chef.
Okay, so I just did a check-in after the chef's been cooking all night long. They're clearly exhausted, and I think that's going to be a major factor.
I'm honestly so tired that I can't even bring myself to stress about anything other than hold on to that cake for dear life, because if it smashes, I'm going to need therapy.
Top Chef and Project Runway are produced by a company called Magical Elves, which did not respond to our requests for an interview. It looks like America's Next Top Model may also be depriving its cast members of their beauty rest. Former contestant Victoria Marshman told the blog Ivygate that sleep deprivation made the girls, quote, physically ill and mentally insane.
I don't want to say that it's unethical, but maybe it is.
Sleep researcher Mary Karskaden.
There's documentation that sleep deprivation has been used as torture in prisoner of war settings.
I wouldn't call it torture. Sleep deprivation is a producer's ally on almost any show.
Lincoln Hyatt is the executive producer of Solitary on the Fox Reality Channel. The premise is that 9 guests are held in solitary confinement and subjected to the whims of an unseen, mechanical-sounding woman named Val.
I find that depriving my guests of sleep makes them pliable. It helps me to discover their physical, mental, and emotional limitations.
These people come in wanting to be tested, and if a tool like sleep deprivation makes somebody more raw, you know, that's valid in that exploration of, you know, what are your personal limits?
Lincoln Hyatt says contestants can leave the show any time they want. All they have to do is push the little red button that takes them out of the running for the $50,000 prize. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.
And let's go from moving freight to moving the mail.
Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue.
And today's last word in business comes from the chairman of the board. Today, the U.S. Postal Service releases its Frank Sinatra stamp. It comes out just ahead of the 10th anniversary of the singer's death. There will be ceremonies in New York, of course. Las Vegas, of course. And Hoboken, New Jersey, of course. That's where Sinatra was born. The picture chosen for the stamp is based on a 1950s photo of Frank Sinatra wearing his trademark fedora.
We knew that the people would want the hat and the big keyboard grin, you know.
Frank Sinatra's daughter Nancy says she was thrilled about the choice, except for one thing. The original design was done in beige and sepia tones.
I said, wait a minute, where are the blue eyes? You've got to have the eyes.
So the stamp changed. You will send letters with old blue eyes.
'Cause I only have eyes for you.
And that's the business news. On Morning Edition from NPR News, I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.
On a crowded avenue, you are here, so am I. Maybe millions of people go by.